Steve Dale's Petcast. Pets are always there for you. They're a dependable source of unconditional love and support. For a short time, they're your best friend. But for them, you're their best friend for their entire lives. This is Steve Dale's Petcast, brought to you by Farm to Pet, single ingredient pet treats. Visit farmtopettreats.com.
And don't miss the Halloween spooky snack packs, available at farmtopettreats.com.
Now, here's your host, Steve Dale.
Dr. Ernie Ward is a longtime friend of mine. If there's a veterinary conference anywhere on the planet, he is probably speaking at that conference about a passionate topic that he cares so much about. Dr. Ward, you are the president and also the founder of the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention. It's a topic you do feel passionately about. Explain what this nonprofit association is all about.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve. You know, in 2005, I was talking to some veterinary colleagues at a conference, as you mentioned, and I was complaining to the table about the increase in pets with obesity that I was seeing in my clinics. And, you know, one of my dear friends who was the president of the American College of Veterinary Surgeons, Dr. Stephen Budsberg, he got fed up with hearing me talk about this at so many dinners. And he said, "Hey, Ernie, if it's such a big problem for you, why don't you do something about it?" And I said, "You know, Dr. Budsberg, I will, as long as you will help me." And that's really where the whole thing started. And at first, we wanted to get a better handle on how big was this problem, no pun intended. So prevalent surveys weren't being conducted. You know, there were a few university studies that gave estimates, but we wanted to see what the real world numbers look like for veterinary clinics across the U.S. And so we started doing these prevalent surveys. We do them every 2 years, and this is one of the years that we do them. And so, you know, for us, Steve, it was really about understanding the problem, because until we understood if this was a serious issue, you know, broad issue, we couldn't really put pressure on pet food companies and pharmaceutical companies and so forth to help us. And so quickly, we realized that this was a problem that affected tens of millions of dogs and cats and was literally robbing them of their life expectancy.
All right. So going back to when the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention first took the first prevalence survey compared to today, what are those numbers? How many pets, how many dogs, how many cats are overweight or obese?
Yeah, well, the last year we did it was 2022. So again, we do it on every even year. And so if we go back and we look at 2006 and compare it to today, well, the current data from 2022 revealed that about 59% of dogs and 61% of cats were classified as overweight or having obesity by their veterinarian. Now, if you go back almost 20 years, you find that the numbers were really in the lower 50s. So we've seen a gradual increase. You know, people are always like, "Oh gosh, well, it only went up like 0.5% or 1% or whatever," but that's hundreds of thousands of pets. You know, that's a big number when you put it in real world perspective. And so for us, you know, this gradual increase has been very alarming. But Steve, there's more to the data than just that big number. We really are focused on the number of pets that are classified as having obesity. Now, obesity is a body condition in which they've got so much excess fat stored that they're really causing harm, right? So this is the disease state that you hear your veterinarian and your physician talk about. And so when we look at those numbers, we start to see, oh, wow, about a third of the cats in this country have obesity and nearly a quarter of the dogs. And so, you know, Steve, if people are asking me how big is this problem, I say, well, you know, we've got a lot of dogs and cats at risk, but we've got even more, you know, that I'm terribly concerned about, because once they get into the obesity category, Steve, there are changes happening, irreversible changes in many instances, such as, again, causing damage to the kidneys, the risk of insulin resistance and diabetes, many forms of cancer, high blood pressure, arthritis. I mean, Steve, this list keeps growing.
Yeah, it does. So back when I was a young behavior consultant, what I was taught, and I think what most pet owners are taught as well, is that it's your fault. And veterinarians at one time, and still, I would argue, shake that finger. It's your fault. You're bad, 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 because you're feeding too many table treats or you're feeding too much food. And sometimes, Dr. Ward, it is also the way in which we feed, such as free feeding cats. And the old, old notion was cats will self-control what they eat. And we now know that greatly is not true. Having said that, It turns out, well, everything I said is true very often. It very often isn't, that there are pet parents that say, you know, I really don't give table food. I really don't give treats. I'm feeding the amount you have, as a veterinarian, suggested I feed, yet look at my pet. What's going on? It is, and I've learned this from you preaching this gospel, it's a lot more complex than we thought.
Yeah, obesity is a multifactorial disease. That means many things cause and contribute. And it's rare that we find the one thing that causes this disease. You know, so it's usually a combination of overfeeding, underexercising, bad genetics, perhaps environmental pollutants like bisphenol A and other microplastics. You know, maybe there are all kind of other, you know, conditions that the dog has, hormonal imbalances. I mean, cats, again, are definitely, you know, behaviorally, if they're indoors, they're challenged as far as that interpretation. Predatory drive, you know, so there are a lot of things at play. And this is why I'm very quick to teach veterinarians and veterinary technicians, you know, Steve, we can't blame the pet parent. That really doesn't help solve anything. And if we think that we can just always, you know, say, oh, well, if you would just do this one thing, it would make it better. It's just not that simple. And I think one of the interesting side effects or consequences of the new obesity drugs that we've seen from humans, the GLP-1s like Wegovy and Ozempic, is we've started now to see a public, you know, sort of shift in their perspective on obesity and understanding the underlying physiology, right? And understanding that, wow, it's not just willpower. It's not just my inability to stick to a diet or exercise program. There's a lot more at play here. And when we manipulate that through pharmacology, then of course these people lose weight and improve their quality of life and longevity. And so for us, you know, we know that first of all, we know that those drugs are coming for pets in the future. But right now we want people to understand that, look, diet and exercise are still going to be the key tenets to weight loss and maintaining a healthy body condition. But we've also got to be careful not to blame and judge and bias our thoughts as veterinary professionals. And so for me, I really want to try to teach a little more grace, a little more patience from the veterinarians, because, you know, I think too often we go, oh, well, this person will never adhere to this diet because they're already overfeeding or they give too many treats. Well, you know, you just never know what's going to motivate that person. But I can tell you, today's pet parents, Steve, they are more than ever willing to do whatever it takes to help their pet live a long, happy, healthy life.
True. But I want to back up to something you said. So are we going to be seeing TV commercials in 5 or 10 years for products like Ozempic or Wegovy, whatever that song is, for a similar drug for cats and dogs?
Well, I can't speculate on whether or not we'll see commercials for that, but I can tell you that I fully expect approved drugs by the FDA for those causes. And, you know, really, the reason that we desperately need these is especially in the cat species, which you and I, you know, they're kind of, we love cats.
Yep.
And they have very unique problems with physiology and genetics when it comes to obesity. So I know that drugs are definitely going to help us out. And the reason, Steve, that these drugs are going to be so life-saving for cats with obesity is because of that disease that you and I really don't like to talk about because it drives us nuts, is diabetes, right? So we are trying to do everything in our power to reduce the risk of diabetes in cats because, Steve, as you know, and I certainly have treated far too many in my career, that is a dead end. It is very difficult to manage a cat with diabetes for years, if not decades, right? I mean, it's very difficult to do and so many complications. It's just difficult on so many reasons. It's difficult to give the injections. It's difficult to do the blood testing. It's difficult to do the diet. So these types of drugs, I think, will definitely take us far down the road in the successful treatment of things like diabetes. But again, you say, well, Ernie, you're talking about diabetes, but I thought you were the obesity guy. Diabetes is caused in cats by excess body fat, Steve. It's just that simple. They're not born with this disease. It's not like a type 1 diabetes in children or even dogs. So for us, you know, we know that, okay, cats with obesity, they're going to get diabetes at some point unless you get rid of the fat. So this is going to be a life-saving drug. But it's years. We're still, unfortunately, several years away. But do I think it'll happen in the next decade? Absolutely. More than likely, I'm kind of hopeful in the next 5 years.
You mentioned diet, and drugs, yes, we're going to see them come, apparently, as you explain. However, diet has gotten better. We are better at understanding what's going on, what to do about it, and the therapeutic or prescription diets are also, I would suggest, you're the expert, you tell me, better than they were, say, 20 years ago.
No comparison whatsoever. You're absolutely right. And Hippocrates got it right, too, by saying, let food be thy medicine. And so for us, we know that we can manipulate the physiology and metabolism of dogs and cats and horses by manipulating the nutrients, the macro and the micronutrients. So, you know, it's not like we're just saying, oh, feed fewer calories. We're actually saying feed fewer calories, but feed more fiber, feed more protein, add more L-carnitine, right? I mean, we're very, very sophisticated in our understanding of how diet can be used to reduce body fat. But there's one other part of this equation that I have to make sure I stress. It's not just about the weight, the number on the scale. It's not even just about losing the excess body fat, although that is of paramount concern to me. It's also about maintaining lean muscle mass. So if you just lose weight, you're probably also losing muscle and fat. That is not a healthy state. In fact, that's going to alter your metabolism in ways you can't even imagine. And so for us, we're trying to say, how do we preserve or even increase muscle mass while simultaneously losing fat? It's a difficult needle to thread at times, but today's therapeutic weight loss diets are designed to do just that. Anyway, and it's one of those things, don't want to sound like a commercial here today, Steve, but the reality is there's been so much research done, and these therapeutic diets have gotten to the level now where, you know, quite frankly, that's one of the better options we have, for sure. And when people say, well, what if I just exercise my dog more or play with my cat more? It's like, that's great, but that's really not going to have nearly the impact that feeding a medicated weight loss diet would have.
I want to talk about treats a little bit. So treats can be marketed however they're marketed. It doesn't mean that they are going to do what that treat says it is going to do, unless it's also a prescription. Prescription treats, that's a separate category. Having a single protein treat, can that potentially be beneficial not only for weight loss necessarily, assuming the pet parent isn't going crazy giving those because the pets would love it, but assuming that it is reasonable as to what's given to the pet, can that be helpful too?
Without a doubt, Steve. And again, I like single ingredient or very simple ingredient stacks for the treats that I'm going to recommend. And the higher the protein content, the more satiety, the more satisfying and filling it's going to be. But more importantly, we're also boosting that protein to help preserve lean muscle mass. So when people like say, my dog likes this treat and that treat, typically what I do is I then look at the ingredients and I look at the, you know, the formulation. And I say, okay, which one of these two choices has higher protein? That's almost always going to be the one I select, you know, because so many treats out there are loaded with carbohydrates and sugar. They're loaded with fat to enhance the palatability. And that is actually the opposite that I want to do. So, and sometimes people are saying, well, you know, I've got my dog on this medicated weight loss diet, but she sure does love this one treat. You're literally sabotaging your efforts. And so, you know, I would say that you want to do this, you know, I would try to do this as thoughtful as possible. And so if you're on a medicated diet that's trying to help you lose body fat, don't undermine your efforts by giving, you know, some what I would consider junk food treats. So single ingredient, high protein, that's really going to be my first choice.
Of course. Now, I want to know about the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention, or actually, let me ask it in reverse. I think the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention wants to know about us. Talk about that.
That's right. Every year we conduct a pet parent and veterinary professional opinion survey. And basically we just ask a few simple questions that are kind of the hot topics of the day about obesity and pet food and treats, as you mentioned, exercise. And so right now, until the end of the year, we're asking pet parents and vet professionals to go online, go to petobesityprevention.org, and just take this, it takes a couple of minutes, if that. These opinions really do impact the industry, as you know, Steve. Steve. I mean, you've been in the rooms that I've been in, and you'll hear some of these companies say, you know, well, based on APOP's last survey, it sounds like pet parents are more interested in this. And that shapes the products that we move out. And I'll tell you, too, you know, Steve, having done this for, you know, a long time, and pet obesity prevention has been around for 20 years, you know, I've seen the interest grow for manufacturers. I've seen the interest grow from universities and research institutions because they realize that this is something that the public, the pet-owning public, values. And so, you know, whereas 20 years ago, pet obesity was kind of a joke, Steve, I'll be honest with you. It's fat and happy. I mean, feed them all they want. And now, in those same rooms, when they're starting to make their budgets for R&D and product development, Steve, they're going, hey, pet parents want better solutions, and they're doing this because they're hearing your voice. So if you could, by the end of the year, just go take a couple of minutes survey, share it with your friends. We're all over social media, pet obesity prevention. Just definitely that your voice can be amplified like you can't imagine.
And the website, one more time, is
petobesityprevention.org.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Ward, for everything you have done and continue to do to make our pets happier and a bit thinner at times. Thank you, Dr. Ward.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for all you do to help pet parents.
We're finished.
That's it.
You've been listening to the PetCast Podcast, brought to you by Farm to Pet, single ingredient pet treats. Visit farmtopettreats.com.
And remember, don't miss the Halloween Spooky Snack Packs, available at farmtopettreats.com.